Eier du din egen bedrift? Da betalingsløsningen fra SumUp det du har drømt om. Hold styr på alt fra ordrer, betalinger og kvitteringer, til refusjoner, salgstall og produktkataloger. SumUp gir deg kontroll på alt på ett og samme sted. Kjøp SumUp og selvkjøp.
En podcast fra Podplay.
It's the space in between those fills that really counted. Mm. And Neil was a master at that, and he never played anything the same twice. So it's a lot of information that she had to gather and process and then apply. And we weren't sure after 4 days, we weren't sure. And then it just sunk in. And on the fifth day, when we came back into rehearsal, she just nailed, you know, one thing after another. And we could see that she got it. She understood what that feel meant.
Ja. Det her skjønner du stort for meg, enten du hører din aller første Gammal Maiden-episode, eller har hørt Rubbel og Bit, og så får lov til å snakke med selvaste Alex Lifeson I bandet Rush. Det stort. Har jo aldri trodd jeg skulle få se dem live en gang, men nå får jeg sjansen. De kommer til Europa neste år. Og for en mann da, startet Rush, også kanadisk band, på sent 60-tall, og gitt ut 19 studioalbum, fantastisk musikk. Og nå har jeg fått prate med en nydelig fyr fra Kanada, som for øyeblikket da var på europeisk jord da intervjuet ble gjort. Så han har kommet over dammen på utkikk etter fredsprisen, sier han her, men ja. Du får egentlig bare kose deg med Alex Lifeson, gitarrist I Rush, som, ja, ikke kjempemye prat om Maiden her, men det tåler vi når Alex slår på tråden. Kose deg!
Gammal Maiden med Torkel Torsvik.
Hey man!
Good morning!
Good morning!
Let's see. Oh, that's just perfect. Look at that. I'm right in the middle of the frame.
Looks like a nice hotel room there.
Yes, it's quite posh, actually.
good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
How are you, Alex?
Good. I'm hoping you'll be able to get me a Nobel Peace Prize. I understand you're in charge of it. I mean, is that a possibility? I'll take anybody's, you know. It doesn't have to be mine. But if one's lying around and it's a spare... That'd be awesome. That'd be great.
You'll have to talk with my prime minister or something. I'm not.
Oh, I thought you were going to say your wife. You know, he makes all the decisions, right? Just like mine. Okay.
Welcome to Europe, and I'm so happy to know that I have the chance to see you live here in Europe on your next leg next year, and we have 15 minutes, so I'll just try to be efficient here. I just want you to describe the moment you realize that we're going to play our music again out there to the people. How that felt for you?
Well, it's a little bit of a long story. You know, it started with the Taylor Hawkins tribute that we did a few years ago. You know, we prepped for it, Getty and I, and we always do a lot of rehearsing and want to make sure that we're going to do a good job. So it got us playing some Rush songs in preparation. And then the gig was amazing, probably the greatest gig we've ever done. And there was such a great feeling of camaraderie amongst all the people that were involved, all the bands and artists. So we felt a little, you know, high from the experience, and we kind of talked about the possibility of touring. But after about a month or so, I just felt that, you know, maybe I don't want to go back into the whole thing and being trapped in a hotel room and all of that stuff. Yeah. I kind of moved on. You know, I was doing the Envy of None projects, and so I was still quite active in the music world, at least in my music world. Coming to the end of 2024, you know, Getty and I would get together and still have coffee and talk. And then every once in a while, we'd go down to a studio and play a little bit. And it was during one of those times where we were just kind of messing around and playing that we decided to play a couple Rush songs. And we just had so much fun. Like, we were terrible, but we had so much fun. And we realized that Rush music is much harder than we remembered. When you're doing it, you know, every day for 40 years, it's kind of, I won't say easy, but it is easier. When you come back after 10 years of not playing it, it's much more challenging. So anyways, that just started to steamroll. And then we thought, well, if we're going to actually do this, we might need to get a drummer. So Geddes Tech, Scully had worked with Jeff Beck. He was Jeff Beck's tech. And he knew Annika. And he said, you know, if you're thinking of doing anything at any time, consider Annika, because she's amazing and really, really a wonderful person. So we got together with her last March, and she came to Toronto, and we had a little rehearsal for about 5 days, and we went through some songs that we all prepared. And by the end of those 5 days, she had really settled in. Mm-hmm. And we thought, this is going to be the perfect combination for us to go forward with this whole thing. And here we are, you know, almost a year later, still rehearsing and still preparing. And it's going great. We're really, really enjoying it.
But after 40 years playing with the same drummer, I guess you get tattooed in your brain his style and his tricks and stuff. How was it the first moment you tried playing with Annika? How was that?
The first time, you know, those 4 days, it was getting better. She was, you know, she had a little bit of jet lag. She was a little bit nervous. Very, very skilled. Like, she's an amazing drummer, but she's her own drummer, and her music is much more sort of fusion and quite different from what Rush is or what was or is. So we spoke to her about, you know, the difference between being technical and having feel. And it was Neil's feel that was so remarkable. She could play all his fills, you know, easily. Then there's signature fills, but it's the space in between those fills that really counted. Mm. And Neil was a master at that, and he never played anything the same twice. So it's a lot of information that she had to gather and process and then apply. And we weren't sure after 4 days, we weren't sure. And then it just sunk in. And on the fifth day, when we came back into rehearsal, she just nailed, you know, one thing after another. And we could see that she got it. She understood what that feel meant. And then she came back in June and it was better. And then in August, it was better again. And then November, we had a longer session. So she's got a lot of work to do. It's a lot of intricate arrangement, drum arrangement. But she's, you know, she's a drummer since she was a toddler, a child. Mm-hmm. She understands the language that Neil also spoke. So she gets it, and she's working through it, and I think it's going to be amazing. Like I said, there's a lot of work still. We have, what, 6 months or so, 5-6 months of intensive rehearsing. Next week, the real stuff happens. I think she's going to be fantastic.
Oh, my God. I have so much respect for even trying to play with you yeah. guys.
She's a little crazy, I think.
Yeah. But how long? When did you decide to also come to Europe? Was that the plan from the beginning?
Well, you know, we were so disappointed we couldn't come on the R40 tour. Neil was, you know, very adamant about how many shows he would do. 30 shows was it. So we just couldn't make it. And it really bothered us. You know, for the last 10 years, it bothered us. So when this opportunity came to go back on tour, we thought we'd come in the fall of 26. But it's, you know, you have to book things so far in advance to get the building. And nothing was available for the fall. So we decided, you know, we'll do some more North American shows and then plan for the spring of 2027. So, I mean, it's going to be a year and a half, but that's the best that we can do.
Yeah. How does it feel now after a while? You've been rehearsing, but yeah, trying out some old Rush songs again and trying to find the finger positions. Standing there in the rehearsal space, how is it for you?
Yeah, that's a good question. It was very difficult at first. Like I said, you know, the songs are hard. You know, when you play them every day for 40 years, that's one thing. You can read a newspaper while you're playing. But when you haven't played them for 10 years, you realize Rush songs are hard. There are a lot of notes in all the songs.
Yeah.
And you really have to use your brains. So we both found it difficult at first just to get the fingers working again. And now, after, I mean, what, 10 months or so, things are feeling good. Muscle memory kicks in over time. You know, you're not sure of the position. It sounds kind of right. And then suddenly your hand just goes to where it's supposed to go. And you're like, oh, my God. Okay, I got it. And that keeps going, you know, because it's not just playing the notes. It's playing the notes with the correct pressure and feel and all of that stuff. It's very precise. And that's just a matter of playing over and over and over and over again. We were at a facility for a couple of weeks, just a health clinic. You know, we want to get reset and get in shape.
Yeah.
So I took my little portable studio set up. And Getty and I, we got some guitars there, and we practiced every day for a couple of hours after our therapies. We practiced, so you know we're making an effort to play as much as possible to keep in shape because we want to be better than we ever were.
Yeah.
That's really the goal for us.
Must be hard to make a set list from the whole of your legacy. And have you finished that work now?
No, it's a work in progress.
Okay.
We're looking at about 38 or 39 songs right now. And our intention is to play, you know, the show is going to be two sets with an intermission. Each of that set will have one song that's dedicated to Neil. And then the next night we want to change about 40% of the songs. Then the next night, 40% of a cycle of five. Wow. So every five nights you don't repeat a set. So for the fans who come out for more than one show, which are many Rush fans, at least if they come, you know, in that space, they're going to hear different songs for all the nights they come. I think that's the best way. Otherwise, you're going to have to play a set that's 5 hours. And maybe if we were 12 years old, that would be okay. But I don't know about now.
Wow, different sets. And I guess that's what your fans want and what they are used to. So that will be amazing. I hope it's okay with some strange questions because I have this podcast exploring what musicians listen to in their childhood, making them want to play rock music themselves. And for me, it was Iron Maiden. So I always ask, can you remember the first time you heard Iron Maiden?
Oh, no, I can't. I can't remember what my room is. You know,
so, I think I saw a picture of you with Adrian Smith from a couple of years ago.
Yeah, no, we're all buddies. You know, every time they come to Toronto, I always go. You know, geez, the first time I heard them must have been somewhere in maybe the mid 70s.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, from the beginning, I thought they were a great band. You know, they played really well. They were really true to their art, and their audience loved them. Their fans really loved them a lot.
Yeah. Like your fans.
Lots of respect for them.
And,
yeah.
And then, of course, what kind of moment or song or what band made you just decide to, I have to do this myself, to play rock music?
Yeah, you know, I started playing guitar when I was 12 years old, and that was in, you know, the mid-60s. And, you know, I was listening to all those bands that were coming from Britain at the time. But, you know, with a little more edge, you know, more Rolling Stones than Beatles and Yardbirds. I was a big fan of the Yardbirds. And I loved, you know, Jeff Beck and Led Zeppelin, Cream before that. So that was really the influence for me. You know, I wanted to play like Clapton. And then when I discovered Jimmy Page, I wanted to be exactly like Jimmy Page. I wanted to dress like him. I was dreaming about having a bottle of whiskey in my hand like he did and all of that stuff. But his playing really spoke to me. And as a kid, just learning how to play, that was kind of the standard that I set. I was nowhere near that ability, but I dreamed about being able to play that way. Yeah. And it was a big influence. And honestly, as a kid, I played every day when I came home from school. As I got older, I played every day when I came home from school. Every chance I got, I played. And just absolutely, to this day, love it so much.
Eier du din egen bedrift? Da betalingsløsningen fra SumUp det du har drømt om. Hold styr på alt fra ordrer, betalinger og kvitteringer, til refusjoner, salgstall og produktkataloger. SumUp gir deg kontroll på alt på ett og samme sted. Kjøp SumUp og selvkjøp.
Kjære Lisbeth, kona mi, 16 år siden vi gifte oss, og 16 år siden vi malte huset. Hæ? Ja, vi malte med Butinox Futura med 16 års garanti. Så du har jo holdt deg utrolig godt, Lisbeth, men dæven huset har jo kanskje holdt seg enda bedre.
Bruk Butinox Futura 16 neste gang du skal male, med 16 års garanti på farge og glans.
You're listening to a podcast. I'm Bruce Dickinson. You're not. And you're listening to Gammal Maiden.
I heard another interview. You still play many hours a day and rehearse or just have having fun with your guitar?
Yeah, I currently play for 2 to 3 hours in the day and then 45 minutes to an hour at night before I go to bed. So In my room, I keep right now I have 3 acoustic guitars in my bedroom. And before I go to bed, I play and I switch them out. You know, one day I play this one and then it's a classical guitar and then a steel string. And it just makes me feel good to do that. And I don't play scales. I don't do any kind of study. I just play guitar. And it's, for me, it's just a beautiful release. And it's a flow of creativity. I'm just so lucky that I have that.
Oh, for people wondering now, of course, you are you're honoring the legacy of Neil Peart. You will, of course, honor your own music. But I guess some fans also thinks, is it possible to make new music and put it out in the future?
There's always a possibility. You know, who knows what the future holds. But right now we're so focused on being really good at what we do, you know, developing the show and just learning to play again and at a high standard. We haven't really given any thought to any kind of new music. Maybe when this is over, we consider it, but, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I also wonder, when you go out on tour now, you're older, of course.
I am.
Yeah. And how do you think it will be for you to, you said it yourself, to be in the hotel rooms again and do the whole shebang?
Yeah, that's that will take work and discipline. You know, Getty and I have talked a lot about this. It's going to be a different tour than anything that we've done before. It's going to be much stricter in what we do in our free time. Whereas in the past, you know, those days off were recreational days. You know, play golf or you go out for dinner or, you know, do what else, whatever, you know, have a couple of drinks and all of that. I think those days off now are going to be recovery days. We have to work out. We're taking a trainer with us. I've kind of stopped drinking. You know, I have a glass of wine once in a while, but it's really about your health and keeping strong, and we are really, really focused on that. I went to this clinic because I had issues with my stomach for years, and that just turned everything around, and I feel healthy, and I feel 15 years younger than my age. So I'm feeling really, really good about where this is going to go. And I like the idea of having a regimen and following it and being, you know, strict and really working on it. It's a great opportunity for a longer, you know, healthier life.
Yeah, and I guess touring today is quite different from the tours in the 70s.
Well, we'll see. I think so. It's a different world than the 70s. The whole music industry, I don't even understand it anymore. But we do what we do. You know, you get into your slot, into your track, and you just go and plow through. Yeah. So,
thank you so much for talking to me this beautiful Wednesday morning. And I guess you have another caller after me. So just good luck with all the rehearsing, and thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. Tak. We'll see you in a year or so.
Yeah. No peace prize, but nice talk. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Speak to your wife. Maybe I can still get it.
Yeah, I will. I will. Have
okay,
a nice one.
See you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Gammal Maiden med Torkel Torsvik, en podcast fra Radio Rock.
Ja, for en herlig type. Jeg følte meg bare så utrolig velkommen inn på litt Porsche hotellrommet hans. Kjente ikke du at det her en god gutt som vi skal ønske velkommen til Unity Arena I april neste år? Alex Liveson, en stor ære å få lov til å prate med den her levende legenden, gitaristen I Rush, og jeg må jo si til deg som hører på, hvis du Rush-fan og kjenner flere, spre ordet om at det her intervjuet finnes, at Gammal Maiden finnes, og legg gjerne inn en karakter, hvis det går an, der du hører på podcast, stjerne, eller hva man nå gjør da, eller sånn der litt av anmeldelse av podcasten her, så sprer ordet seg enda mer. Vi vil jo at Gammal Maiden skal holde på, I hvert fall til episode 666, ikke sant? Så tusen takk for at du har hørt på denne episoden, og så jeg tilbake på mandag med ny som vanlig. Takk skal du ha.
Du har hørt en podcast fra Podplay. En enklere måte å høre podcast på. Last ned appen Podplay, eller se podplay.no.
Gratulerer med 16-årsdagen, jenta mi. Litt av en sommer da du ble født. Vi malte huset med Butinox Futura 16. Det jo 16-års garanti på den husmalingen. Mamma og jeg veldig fornøyde med den malingen.
Hallo.
Og deg, så klart. Du jo så god i
Bruk Butinox Futura 16 neste gang du skal male, med 16 års garanti på farge og glans.